You got a Bible tonight? The book of Romans, chapter number 8. Book of Romans, chapter number 8. I feel in my heart we're to deal with a few scriptures tonight, and we won't be long. Romans 8, 28. I guess I've noticed more in pastoring, being in the church. Church is my life. Lord Jesus is everything to me. I plan everything I have around the church. I don't plan the church around what I got. I put the church as the central focus, and I think that's where it ought to be. I think that we ought to plan everything in our life around Him. How's it going to affect Him with this decision I'm fixing to make? This promotion I'm going to get me, is it going to take me further from Him? Then it's bad for me. If this choice I'm going to make, is it going to put Him further away from me, then it's not the right choice. Because He desires to be the central focus, the central theme of everything we do in our life as a Christian. But I've noticed, as the Bible said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. You don't have to read many newspapers nor turn on the TV too long to see a man walked in a fitness center this week and pulled a gun, cut the lights off, pulled a gun, Brother Gerald, and sent people to eternity. Just like he is drinking a cup of water. People don't have respect of life anymore, no respect of values. I seen a young lady teaching how to do respiratory procedures on a dog, bringing them back to life, but they don't care nothing about the millions of babies that this country has sanctioned, that has taken their life. Jeremiah said, when I was in my mother's womb, you knew me. God spoke a breath of life in your mother's womb and you became a living soul. America has her priorities wrong tonight. But in Romans 8:28, I want to give you something tonight that you can anchor and hold on to. One of the ladies stood in a testimony service this morning and said, even though bad times has come and bad things has happened, I'm glad I've been under the old time gospel that I know what I can hold on to. The Bible said, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things, that covers a lot, Brother Randall. That covers things that me and you don't know about. That covers things me and you question about. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Thank you for standing tonight. I've noticed that it's very important as we walk through this world that we have something that we can hold on to. My mother is here tonight. She's been with us for about a week, and I've noticed later in years, Brother Mike, she has a walking stick. And even though I'm a young man tonight, Brother Jerry, I've got something I got my hand on that I can lean on. I'm not banking, Brother Marty, on sink and sand. I'm not banking on the Baptist church. But there is some things tonight that I found out that I can hold on to.
Somebody said it was wrong to ask why, Lord. Then they hadn't read their Bible very far, because when Jesus was on the cross, He said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" I want to tell you tonight, in our darkest times, when it seems like that God is His Father is off the scene, as Brother Adam preached this morning, God is right next to you in your dark and your trying time. Matter of fact, if you won't know where the Lord is tonight, I can tell you where you can find Him. He's at the funeral homes, and He's at the cancer clinics, and He's at the broken homes and the broken hearts, because the Lord cares about His young'uns tonight. He cares. We live in a country that don't care, and no longer, neither is wrong, nor right is right. Everybody's opinion is running our country instead of the Bible. It's the Bible is what's going to stand the test of time. It's the Bible is what you can lean upon tonight. It's the Word of God that's going to stand forever when this old world is a-burning. I want to give my people something tonight that they can hold on to in these shaky times. We've got a president that thinks you can just throw the money to things and cure all. Honey, our problem's not money. It's morals in America. Money don't fix raising children. Money don't fix doing right. Money don't fix this Bible. We don't need money. We need morals. We need the Master to move His great hand back amongst His folk in our country. And I still believe the Bible said that if we would pray, He would hear us and heal our land. We in a mess tonight, young'uns. This pastor told me tonight, he believes the Lord is soon to come. So do I. Matter of fact, I want to say tonight, our church has never had a better time to be a light in a lost and a dark world. People are searching and they're looking. And I'm glad that God's got a place in Bowdoin, Georgia, they can come to and hear the Word of God. Oh, we're in some dark time, where everybody's opinion is running things. It's not your opinion nor my opinion. It's what thus saith the Word of God. Can I share with you real briefly tonight just a few things that I know? Now by Romans 8:28, he wrote and said that we know that all things, that must tell me it'd be some things come by that I just didn't really know about. Some things that I'd scratch my head about and I'd push my chair back and I'd say, "Now, did that really happen?" Brother Gerald, I'm glad tonight I found something. Lord God Almighty, I found something. I want to say, first of all, I found in my Bible that God's Word is settled. It is settled. Psalms 119 and verse number 89. The psalmist David wrote, and he said, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." I'm glad it's settled in my heart that I don't need a new Bible. I can't live this and I got to the fullest. I ain't read all of this and yet. Turn your crown up, I ain't. Turn your halo up, honey. I can't live the way I ought to out of this, and why I need another. This one saved your forefathers. This one saved you. You don't need another Bible. We need to apply the one we got tonight. He said it's forever settled. But the modernists have soaked down the word. They say don't preach against sin and don't get too hard. You'll run the members off. We got bills to pay. Honey, God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and owns the taters under the hill. Glory to God. We don't need a soft soap Bible. We need somebody to get up and preach it, because He said it's forever settled in heaven. It won't be another Bible. You better get in the one you got and live by it by the grace of God. I found out that the Word of God is settled. In verse 161, in the longest chapter of the Bible, in Psalms 119, He said this, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe at Thy Word." It amazes me the way a man of God can get up with the Word of God and help me in my day and hour and circumstance. He said, "I rejoice at Thy Word as one that findeth great spoil." I tell you something you ought to shout about tonight is a copy of the King James Bible. Amen. Preacher's afraid they're going to offend somebody. Just soft soak them. Fairy tale them to sleep. Reader's Digest. The Word of God is special tonight. David said, 7 times a day do I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Like this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Preacher, you ought to calm down a little bit on that style of preaching. Honey, let me tell you something. If your hair's ruffled up tonight, you need to change direction of the hair. Amen. Nothing shall offend them. We need the Word of God preached to us in this day and this time. Now, I don't know about y'all, but the Reader Digest don't bring no conviction to me, honey. The drama teams don't bring no conviction to this preacher. But the Word of God, preached in the power of God, will make you want to do right tonight. I'm one of them fellers learned the hard way. My mama vouched that I was a hard-headed young'un. And I've always needed a man to preach to me the way God intended it to be preached. Matter of fact, Jesus turned a few tables over. I don't know what you're going to do about a preacher. Got a little backbone about him. He walked in, said, "You've turned my house into a trading post." Booyah! I like it when a preacher said, booyah! That's what's wrong with our Baptist churches now. Ain't no booyah going on. Bunch of soft-soaked liberals. I don't even want a liberal in a parking lot. You know something, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Any of y'all ever got a bad peach and didn't get it out of the whole bushel? For long, the whole house be stinking. There's a big difference in stinking and stanking. He said, "Nothing shall offend them." You know what He said? "Preach, preacher." He said, "I'll say amen or oh me." I wish some of y'all can't say amen, say oh me. Boy, I've noticed when you write with God and filled with the Holy Ghost, you ain't got no problem saying, "Preach, preacher, preach." God, I love preaching. I wish I could be a little sweeter sometime, but God didn't call me to be sweet and neat. Amen. He called me to preach. Amen. You can love and preach. If a man don't love his people, he won't preach to them. Nothing shall offend. I got my feelings hurt, preacher. Grow up. Grow up, cry baby. Grow up. Need to put pasties in the communion plate. You whining about your tithe. Lord goodness, a waitress requires more than God does. That's bad when folks waiting on tables getting more than what God's getting. Ain't no sense y'all looking down. We ain't praying tonight. Oh, I know some of y'all too chinchy to tip. I wouldn't fill your tea glass up neither, amen. They done seen you sit in their chair before. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I've hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. I want to say tonight, the word of God is settled. It is a hiding place. It is a helping place. How many times you didn't know how you'd make it, and somebody got up and shared a scripture out of the word of God, and it helped you in your trial. This Bible's amazing to me. It is a helping place. It is a hiding place. It is a healing place. And it is a hopeful place. Oh, the Word of God is wonderful tonight. Preacher, what about this and what about that? It don't matter about what we don't know. It matters what we do know. I know that the Word of God is settled. And then two, not only do I know that God's Word is settled, I know that God's love is so. I know it's so. You know why I know it's so? Brother Wendell's sitting here tonight. Brother Gerald's sitting here tonight. Brother Randall's here tonight. Takes a lot of love to save people like us. It's easy to love nice people. But aren't you glad that you know tonight that God's love is so? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. I like that, don't you? God's Word is so. God's love is so. We know tonight that God's love is favorable. Look in Romans 8 and verse 33. It's amazing how God's love is. Romans 8 and 33. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. God's love is favorable. God's love is faithful. He said in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I don't care what you've done this week. The love of Christ is faithful. Now, He may not love what you've been doing, but He loves you. And there's nothing, you hear me tonight, there's nothing like God's love. God's love is favorable. God's love is faithful. And I want to say, God's love is forever. The Bible said in Romans 8 and 37, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height or depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love is faithful. Young people, when God saves you, you're saved forever. Somebody asked a man invited in a revival meeting this week where I was. They said, sir, you ought to come to revival meeting. You ever been saved? He said, yeah, I've been saved 5 or 6 times. Honey, that ain't the way it works. Whom God saves, He seals. I'm glad He loves us forever. Hard to shake somebody that's unshakable. Can I ask you tonight? If you've done something to get saved, then you could do something to get unsaved. But we've done nothing to get saved because we're saved by grace through faith. And the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Cleanseth. It's an ongoing process. Cleanseth. I'm glad to say cleansed. As I walk, the blood of Jesus is on me. And when I make a mistake and I confess my sins, He cleanseth me. Boy, aren't you glad that He don't just save you and push you out and let you do the best you can do? There's a Holy Ghost living in me. The Bible said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Honey, the day you get saved, the Holy Ghost moved in by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He walks around in here with you. And you're not the same no more. This stuff about crying crocodile tears and getting up living like the devil, you didn't get saved. The Bible said His seed remaineth in Him and He cannot sin. You look that up. He no longer can have a lifestyle of sin. When I do wrong, the Holy Ghost convicts me. My wife told me today, take out that garbage. I was tired. I didn't want to take out that stinking garbage. And the Holy Ghost said, about time you take out the garbage. And I said, amen, and 2 hallelujahs. Brother Tim, he walks in me and lives in me, goes to bed with me and wakes up with me, and it's nobody like him. God's love is so. I know that. God's love. Sometime when you're having a pity party, you can remember, honey, God loves you. Sinner, you may be here tonight, have never been saved. I can tell you how much God loves you. He sent the best thing He had on an old rugged cross to die for your sin. He said He paid a ransom for all. You may be here tonight and know not the Lord, but you can be saved by the grace of God. God's love is so. You ever met people hard to love? Some of y'all live with people hard to love. I can tell by looking at you, you're hard to love. I mean, you look like you've been eating saltbriars and gravel gravy all day. A little smile would go a long way on your face. Now, I know it'd go a long way down where you live. Lord, if you was to smile when they'd come home, somebody'd fall out. God's love is so. Not only is God's Word settled, God's love is sold, but I want to say tonight that God's grace is sure. God's grace is sure. 1 Peter 5. Oh, what a grace. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Isn't it amazing in a marriage how he can make you feel like that you're the enemy, and you're not the enemy, honey. The devil's your enemy. It's amazing to me, Brother Tim, how the devil can tell you something, make you believe it. Buddy, he's the father of lies, and he sure is good at it. He can whisper something to you, and as foreign as it seems to you, he can make it real. He loves to play mind games. And your mind and my mind is a battleground. He'll tell you, you have not come to that church. That preacher's crazy. He'll tell you nobody loves you there. He'll tell you that your husband's cheating on you or your wife's cheating on you. He'll tell you anything to get you in the gutter. Man, I can get up Sunday morning and say, hallelujah, hooray, it's church time. We get to go worship. I get to go preach. Before long, he gets on and tells me the worst stuff I've ever heard. And right down in the holler I go. That's why, honey, we're to love one another and pray for one another and support one another. Tonight, I'm glad God's grace is sure. He said, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, underline it. But the God of all grace, who's called us unto His eternal glory by Christ. You know what the grace of God let me do? The grace of God let me forgive a man that was hard to forgive. The grace of God allowed me to stand in a pulpit and preach my daddy's funeral. The grace of God has allowed me to go in morgues with mom and daddies and identify their babies. The grace of God. All grace. And aren't you glad the grace that He's given you is the God of all grace? You say, preacher, I don't have dying grace. You don't need it right now. I'm not hunting a load to go right now. But I'm ready to go. I know that God's grace is sure. He has saving grace. That's amazing about God. I mean, God does strange things in His salvational work. He saves the most unlikely people. I'm going to tell you, when you're a good candidate for somebody to get saved, when they think you'll never get saved, you fixing to get saved. God does things that we give up on many times, and He is the God of all grace, saving grace. It's amazing God saved me. Pulled me out of a hayfield in the middle of Tennessee. That taught me to be baptized and wash away my sin as a lad of hell. But one day the Holy Ghost come by and knocked on my wicked heart and offered me eternal life. And I said, yes, Lord, I want it more than life itself. Don't you tell me it ain't fun being saved. I'll be back. It's fun being saved. It's wonderful knowing that your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and death has no hold on me. He has saving grace. You say, preacher, I don't believe God's going to save him. Hold on. He loves to do stuff that he gets the honor and the glory out of it. I know I mention these names a lot, but he loves to save the Feltons and the Troys and the Wendells. He loves to save those that somebody says they're untouchable, they're unreachable. It is nothing too hard for the Lord. Brother Randall, it's amazing you got saved. Brother Mike, it's amazing he got you out of a pool room and saved you. That's amazing. A pool shark. It's amazing he saved that big boy over there. Used to go over to the Legion and drink like a fish and act a fool. Amen. It's amazing to me how God moves by grace and saves a sinner. It's amazing. That's why that religious crowd can't get saved. They don't get lost. Honey, you gotta get lost before you can get saved. You gotta realize you're a sinner on your way to hell or you'll never get saved. It's not joining the church and doing the best you can and see if you make it. It's an experience with the Holy Ghost. Has God come by and convicted you of your sin and you called out by faith and you was born again by the grace of God? My mama's here tonight. She don't know all this. When I get filled with the Holy Ghost, I tell my guts. I tell some things I wish I hadn't said sometimes. But when I got old enough to drive, I told them I was going to town to church. So I'd get in my car. I'd tell them I'd gone to town to church. I'd come back home to eat Sunday dinner and they'd say, "How was church?" I said, "Oh, it was fine." Because I hadn't been there. The last thing I wanted was to go to church. But honey, the day the Lord saved me, He put church in there. Ain't nobody got to hunt me up. I know where the house of God is tonight. And He said He's no respecter of person. If you get saved, you'll find out the grace of God is sure. Yes, saving grace. Yes, securing grace. And I looked up this word grace. We all use it as a divine favor. And it is. It's a great benefit. But I tell you what one old Puritan writer said. It's a divine influence upon the heart. And buddy, not only do you have saving grace, securing grace, but you'll find out God has sufficient grace. It is a divine influence upon your heart. And that's amazing to me how grace will change your heart. Somebody you hated. Somebody you couldn't tolerate. And the grace of God will make you hug their neck, friend. You know it takes grace to love a Yankee. Yeah. Amen, Brother Tim. Sufficient grace. I know that the Word of God is settled. I know the love of God is so. I know the grace of God is sure. But I know that the return of Jesus is soon. Jesus is coming. Lord, what a day. Dear God in heaven, what a day. Get us out of all this. The Bible said, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 13, and I be done. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And any man pastors a church that's worth his salt don't want his folks ignorant. I've never seen so many ignorant people. Lord, if a man get in a pulpit and swallow a goldfish, some Baptists think they got to swallow a goldfish. Would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. What a pitiful verse, Brother Ricky. I want to say God's return is soon. And in verse 14, the Bible says, He will awake the sleeping. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. That's not soul sleep. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you die and your spirit and soul is going to some place, it's going to the same place. If you're saved, it's going to heaven. If not, it goes to hell. There's no purgatory. There's no between. Hunter, you been in or you out tonight with the Lord Jesus Christ? No in between. This is the dressing room for eternity. Today's the day of salvation. The God of glory died for you that you could be saved. He will awake the sleeping. Ain't that amazing? Folks that have been dead for thousands of years, they getting up. Can you imagine them grave diggers? You know something? We really ain't buried, are we? We planted. And they seed coming up. Look what he said right there. He's going to wake the sleeping. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. You know something? When our loved ones cross and they're saved and our little ones come and look in the coffin, you know what we ought to tell them? They're sleeping. Hun, their body's just resting. Their soul's going to be with the Lord. And on getting up morning, it's going to get up. A lot of young'uns have so many questions about death. We ought to be straightforward and honest with them. We ought not trick them about the things of the world. These fairy tales and big Easter bunnies. We ought to tell them the truth about death. Death is sure. Boy, Jesus is lovely. I'm amazed I got saved. He's going to wake the sleeping. Number two, I believe He's going to alarm society. Verse 16, the Lord Himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Can you imagine? When Jesus comes, raptures this church out of here, and everything that goes up. Can you imagine the vehicles that'll be unmanned and run off? Can you imagine the airplanes that fall out of the sky? Brother Mike, you ain't got to worry about that because if the pilot goes, you'll go with him. You'll never know you hit the ground. Brother Mike, scared to death of flying, he said, Jesus said, I'll be with you all, low always. Yeah. You can't melt poor Brother Mike in an airplane.
Y'all know Brother Mark Cooper? He got on his first flight and the plane went to go up. And when they banked and turned, he thought something was wrong. And he grabbed the man in the seat by him around his neck. He's going to alarm society. Everybody that's been scoffing, scoffers. Where is this coming? What the Bible said. Scoffers. Well, y'all believe that there's a Jesus going to return? Yeah, because He said He would. And I know God's return is soon. Because you see, He's going to wake the sleeping. He's going to alarm society. But I believe with all of my heart, He's going to unite the saints when He said, then we which are alive spiritually and remain physically alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord there, and so shall we ever. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe it. With all of my heart, there's some things I can hold on to that I know. And you know, just because I don't know about some things, it don't matter. It's what I do know. It's what's going to get me through. What I do know. I appreciate the Lord today. And Miss Julie, I wish you'd come and Brother Tim, lead us a verse tonight of a song. And I hope that you took some notes and underlined some things that when your world, when you get that phone call, you get that news, you've got something to hold on to. Brother Jerry, I never know what's on the end of the line at this preacher's house when the phone rings. I never know. Brother Adam, it could be you call. Brother Adam's got one of the brightest futures of any young man that I know. But you know something? A sovereign God could take him out of here tomorrow. Miss Flo, you had one of the best husbands I've ever met in my Christian walk. And he sat right there one morning in Sunday school, and God said, I need you here more than I need you there. So God took him. You know, Brother Ryan, I wondered about that some. Here's a man's a shining example. Here's a man that loves his wife like I've never seen another man love his wife. I wonder, some of these little old young'uns in a coffin lid, I've said, God, Lord, why? Pastor, a lot of people's asked me, preacher, why? I don't know. But there's some things I do know. And that's what's going to get me through tomorrow. Because I know my Redeemer lives. But Tim, what's your number? Whatever you need tonight, you stand with us. This altar's open. If you've never been saved by the grace of God and you want to be, you ought to come by faith tonight and accept Christ, the one that loves you. You hear and you got a need in your life, bring it to the Lord because He cares for you while we sing, would you?